right, so I'm going to give you this warning up front. I don't know how this is going to play out. Pastor Sonia and I were talking today, and I said, Sonia, this is the first time that he didn't give me nothing. And she said, you know what, me neither. Amen. And I said, so I guess, you know, people will believe I'm saved. Amen. Amen. And when I say, so you're going to see me deal with this iPad a little bit, and then you're going to see me walk away from it, because I don't have anything but what he gave me, and that's everything. Amen. 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 Unity Worship Center, Lord. Amen. I never meant. Do you got the other glasses, the ones I like, my $1.25 glasses? Amen. Amen. I don't know what the Lord is doing, but he's bringing me out of a few things. Yeah, let's do that. Thank you, baby. Appreciate it. I call my trusty faithfuls. I never meant for this to be a sermon series. In all honesty, I've been going through so much mentally and emotionally, as well as physically, with being sick. And I don't say any of that to make you feel, you know, bad for me or give me some sympathy or anything like that, or feel some type of way. I share this with you because I want you to know that I too am human. And I want you to know that I understand. I understand that it's not easy. I understand that this walk, it calls for a lot. Because even though the things that it calls for you to let go of, though you know they're no good for you, it's still really kind of hard to let go of them. If it was so easy just to stop doing the wrong thing, we wouldn't have done the wrong thing for so long. Amen. So I think that where we have, as clergy, preachers, pastors, and all of that, I think where we've went wrong is we've stood up here in this position, in this sacred place, and we've lied. Many of us have lied, and we made it seem like it wasn't, you should just be able to do this. And if you don't, and if you're having a real hard time doing it, it's because you don't want to. And that's not true. Amen. And so I want you to know, I understand. Between Jamal Fields passing away last Tuesday and being super concerned about this 4-year-old baby in intensive care fighting for her life, Levi in a hospital in Cincinnati where we don't know any of the people recovering from a surgery, the first of many that he's going to have at 4 years old, praying that he doesn't end up with scoliosis, then going to the homegoing service of Jamal Fields yesterday and watch his father, who happens to be my very good friend, have to stand in a pulpit and eulogize his 31-year-old son. He turned 31 one day, and he died the next. And it wasn't something that was instant. We watched Jamal fight for his life hard every day of his life. He would sit in that drum room burning up with an oxygen tank. Free. Wasn't a member of this church, but he come and he played for free. And he played his heart out. And we had to watch. We walked up to his casket yesterday, and it was just so surreal because we've had him since high school. He's been here and there and all of these places, but we had him since high school. And then jump on social media and see so many people that I know well and some not so well seem to be hurting the way that they are. It's been a lot. I laid down and I went to sleep and I slept through the night and I woke up this morning and it occurred to me that I had no word. But I knew that all week long God had been brewing something within me. So I got up and just stared at my computer screen and the Holy Spirit said, just begin to talk about this verse and I will lead the rest of the way. I bless God that I have people in my life that when I wanted the whole verse and for whatever reason, Satan fights me when it talks about getting free. And so as I was in Sunday school and I was listening to Pastor Sonia and she was saying some powerful things that I'm going to share with you here in a second, I knew that God had gave me a ram in the bush. So the first scripture is Jeremiah. We've been there. I'm going to tell you how deep this is. Shamika Body once said, I remember at Grove Temple, she said, I had printed the scriptures out and handed them out. And Shamika said, I put it on my mirror. So as soon as I woke up, I saw it because I wanted to be reminded before I did anything that morning of where I should be pressing into. Amen. So Mimi, I put Jeremiah 29, 13 through 14. But Pastor Sonia is going to come and read verses 11 and 12. Amen. Amen. And then she's going to explain this to you. All right.
Jeremiah 29, 11, and 12. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. So many times the enemy comes to you and tells you that because of what you've done or who you've been or what has happened to you that God ain't got nothing good for you. That verse just tells you otherwise, does it not? Let me tell you, your enemy is a liar. He's the father of lies. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you. You know what? We don't always understand his good thoughts, but he just explained them. He said they are thoughts of peace. Peace. Do you have peace in your life? I can tell you if you don't, that's a part of your life God has not been made God over. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. The enemy says, oh, he allowed this, he gave this, he did that. He did not. The enemy allowed those things. And you're sometimes, and I'll forgive my French, your stupidity, walked you right into it. God says, I have good things for you. What? How good are they? They are of peace and joy and love, and they are to give you a future of hope. Hope, 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 hope. You know what hope is? Hope is tomorrow I can open up the door and I'm going to walk out with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in my life, and good things are going to happen to me. Hope is all things will work to my good. I do not have to worry when the storm comes, when the earth shakes, when the enemy roars at me like a lion, because I have hope, and it's Jesus Christ. Do not let the enemy tell you otherwise. Jesus said, if you will go and pray, I will listen. He hears you. He hears you. Do not let the enemy tell you otherwise. You have everything in Christ Jesus. Amen. Believe it today.
Thank you, sister. So that you understand, Kenny, you were sitting in the room and we was up, and Kevin, we was just trying to find the scriptures so that we could give to her 5 minutes before our service started. In fact, they were encouraging, starting the encouraging part of the service, and we were trying to find the scriptures because I couldn't even find the scriptures to tell her that I needed help with. And so the reason that I'm sharing that part with you is to understand that you have a woman of God, your assistant pastor. We didn't just do that, you know, just for looks. We did that because as she can step up at any place, at any time, on any level, and give the word of God. Amen? She walked out the office gangsta on me. I got you. So she said, I got you. So I believe this is the message version, niece. Is this the message version? And it says, when you come looking for me, you will find me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me and want it, watch this, more than anything else. Let's stop. When you come looking for me, you'll find me. And many of you feel like there's an absence in your life of God. And the reality is, you're right. And the reason that it is not because he doesn't love you, not because he doesn't want to fellowship with you, not because he doesn't want to be down with you, not because he doesn't have a great plan for you. We already understand that he's got a hope for us and all of that, right? Peace, love, and joy, and all of that. But the problem is, we really ain't looking for him. We look for his stuff, but we don't look for him. Yeah, I'm good with the stuff, but him not so much. I heard that he'll give you joy. I'd like to have a piece of that. I heard that he'll give you peace. I'd like to have some of that. I heard that he'll give you a love. Watch this. And as long as he'll give me love, but I don't have to give any love, I'm good with that. I like his stuff. I like the idea of his stuff, but him not so much. Here is the problem. What are we doing today? What are we doing today? We're breaking it down. We're figuring out why. And then we're going to talk about how. He says, so when you come looking for me, you will find me when you're looking for me. You ain't been looking for me. You've been looking for your electric bill. You've not been looking for me. You've been looking for your boo. You've been looking for your bae. You're trying to find the one, but you're not looking for me. You understand what I'm saying to you? He says, but when you look for me, you will find me. Today my wife was getting ready to be late. She thought she was going to be late. She was trying to find her keys. And you know what I'm saying? And she had her sandwich right here, and she had her little cappuccino thing and all that right here. But guess what? She was looking past all of that. She was hungry. She was thirsty. But she was looking for the keys, so she wasn't studying anything else but the keys. We went outside. We was looking in the cars for the keys. And the raccoon that she's at war against, it had threw down the Herbie Kirby because it didn't have anything in it. And the raccoon was upset, so he pushed the Herbie Kirby over. And I said, baby, I said, your buddy done pushed the Herbie Kirby over. She didn't even stop to look. Why? Because she was looking for one specific thing, and finally she found him. When you look for me, God says, it's only going to be when you look for me that you'll find me. But the reason that you keep coming up with everything else under the guise of looking for me is because that's what you was really looking for. You wasn't really looking for me. You was looking for my stuff. But you was looking for what your God is. Did you hear me? I want you to understand this. Everybody in the building, I want you to understand this. If you accept the sin and know it's sin and do it anyway, that's your God. Oh, hold on. Let's deal with that. That's your God. Whatever you're looking for, more than you're looking for God, that's your God. Now, here's the deal. I don't care what you shake your head. That's right, Pastor. Amen. You better preach and all of that. God knows your heart. So watch this. It's going to get quiet here. So you could be agreeing with me, but God's going, you fronting. Because I'm not the most important thing to you, and you're really not looking for me. You're looking for an angle through me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me, and watch this, he said, okay, so let's stop right there. Serious. Many of you know my story. I was saved while in prison, facing 20 to life in one city and 10 flat another, on the run for 3 years. 16 IDs, four of them was Herman's. we was moving out of our house, and we was packing up, and Miriam hit a box, and a bunch of IDs fell out, and she said, "Oh my God, who are you?" And I said, "I'm Stephen Lyons." She said, "How do I know?" I said, "Baby, here's my ID." So, when you get serious, when I got saved in jail, I went to church every time church was open because I was serious. I didn't pick which services I liked most because of who was going to be teaching and preaching. What I didn't want to lose was the chance. What I didn't want to risk was the chance of missing something in one of those services in jail. And in the Louisville jail, while I was awaiting trial, we had church 8 times a week, and I was at church every service because I didn't want to miss nothing that might allow me to grow more in the strength of Him. I was serious. I stopped watching TV. People will testify. They'll tell you this. I stopped watching TV. All I watched was basketball and church. And when the commercials would come on with the women with the slim clothes on and all that type stuff, I would leave. And what I would ask God during the commercials is, what could I do right now to make you happy? The Lord stands in heaven as my witness. I was serious. You see what I'm saying to you? And so he says, when you get serious, you'll it just won't be church on Sunday. When you're serious, even if you got to work on Bible study, you know we got a van, you'll say, "Come get my kids." Oh, God, y'all ain't hearing me in here. Even on the Sundays that you're not going to make it because you might be hungover or something like that, right? What you say is, even though I tricked it for myself and I just ain't physically able to get up, what I'm not going to do is deprive my kids because I'm silly. I'm serious about at least them making it in, so I'm going to send them to church. See, when you're serious, he says, when you're serious about finding me and you want it more than anything else. Now, here's where we're going to break free. We're going to break free only, but if you're honest. How many of you, and I'm going to tell you something, there is deliverance in honesty. How many of you will admit in here today, as much as I hate it, there's some things that's more important to me than God? How many of you admit that? Put your hands up if you... Don't make me call you out. Put your hands up. Because it's sin in the house. It's sin in the house. And if it's sin in the house, you ought to have your hand up because that's more important to you than God. Lord, have mercy. You see what I'm saying to you? So we're trying to figure out why I can't break through with God, but the problem is I'm fighting with God. I'm trying to get close to a God I'm fighting against. You understand? Now, see, so for those of you that raised your hand and said, yes, this is an issue for me. See, good. Because this is the first step of deliverance, being honest about where you are. If you're tired of crying every night, if you're tired of looking at yourself in the mirror and saying, when are you finally going to get it together? You have to begin to be honest about where you really are. See, the Bible says a just man falls 7 times. God don't hate you because you tripping right now. Baby, the investment was too big. He's big enough to understand that you don't understand what's really important, most important for your life. You ought to clap for God right there because he just don't turn you away on the strength of being, as Pastor Gross said, unteachable. He says, I'll make sure, watch this. He says, when you want me more than anything else, and he says, I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. So watch this. Anybody in the building, I ain't even going, listen, if it's sin in the room, he says this, you can give it up and I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. Oh, this is deep, right? How many of y'all old enough to remember Mikey on the commercial? But I like it, right? But what God is saying is, get this, if it's wrong, you can give it up, and trust me, I got something better. Why? Give the sinful part of it up, watch this, and I might not even keep it from you. I just might clean it up, and then, you know, when you're ready, then you can have it. You understand what I'm saying to you? But the fact that you're doing it in sin shows that you're not responsible enough to have it even right now. He says, and if you'll trust me, if you'll trust me over your other God, if you'll trust me over your other God, I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. And then he says something, he says, God's decree, which means a promise. Hold on, God makes a promise. He says, hold on, if you'll do it right, and you'll worship your God, the real God, me, I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. God says this, I promise. Hold up. Now, that ain't like me promising you. You know, like I promised Miriam when I was courting her, and I said, you know, I was courting you, and she was super holy, you know. And we was talking about, you know, when you're getting ready to get married, you got to talk about your debts. Let me tell you something, single people, when you're going to get married, quit all that silliness, quit, be grown. Boy, you got some debt. Girl, you got some debt, because when you get married, that becomes y'all's debt. You understand what I'm saying to you? And maybe you don't want to go into a marriage with a $14,000, you know, what is it, checking the cash credit scandal right now, right? Maybe you want to walk in right. And so I told Miriam, I said, you know, she said, well, baby, this is what I got going on, and I, you know, I got this little money right here. I said, baby, I'm going to get a second job, and I'm finessing, right? I said, I'm going to get a second job, and I'm going to pay that for you. Don't you worry about that. Bro, I'm hiding my car not to be repossessed. If I'm going to get a second job to pay her, it just makes sense to think that I wouldn't have to be hiding my car on the other street, two streets down, and walking in the rain because I can't afford for them to repossess it today. But I promised it. See, God's promise is not like my promise. See, watch this. I promised to pay her debt. We filed bankruptcy. You understand what I'm saying to you? But she got sick, and God promised to heal her, and y'all see her today. The promise is different. The promise is different. I want you to understand. When God promises, when he says it will be worth it, you will not be disappointed, you got to get to the point in your life where you're like, you know what, I drop it all. I'm rocking with God, and I'm rocking with his promises, because two things that he cannot do is lie and fail. He says, I'll turn things around for you. And I'm... Is there anybody in the building that needs some things to be turned around? This is God speaking. He says, I'll turn some things around for you. And let me just go ahead and tell you something. If there's anybody in here that's rocking with sin, and I know how it is to rock with sin. I've rocked in it. Lord knows I've rocked in it. But thinking that you're going to get blessed in sin is kind of like what George Thornton told me when she gave me another year. I said, but everybody let me go. She said, nah, but I'm not, because if I let you go, it was like blessing you for doing the wrong thing. We're asking God to be okay with what he said he's not okay with. And if he becomes okay with it, then that makes him a lie. Problem with that, when God becomes a lie, everything else falls apart. Isaiah 40, 31. But those who trust in the Lord, I want you to catch this, okay? This is important. This is the New Living Translation, I believe. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. That's deep, isn't it? If I trust in God, I become more stronger. Yeah, the Lord said, read the Bible to your baby on a daily. You see how she's locked in? Because she's godly. Read the Bible to the baby. If it's your baby, read daily. She's locked in. She's in. She ain't playing. This is better than cartoons, even for her small little mind. She's in it. Yeah. He says, but I will trust the Lord. He says, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. Hold on. Anybody got some old strength that really don't seem that strong right now? You know, because anything after a while gets weak. Right? Everything after a while gets weak. You understand? I mean, water sit long enough, it begins to evaporate. You understand what I'm saying to you? But he says this, but for those of you that are trusting me, you'll find a new strength. Anybody in the building in need of a new strength right now? Watch this. And this ain't just like a re-up. This isn't just like, he says this is a new one. In other words, this is a strength that you've never had before. This is a strength. This is a strength that is not of your own. This is a strength that has nothing to do with people saying good things to you on Facebook and sending you well wishes. He says, no, baby. This strength you've never had, it is new. New means something that has never been seen before. He says, I'm going to give you a strength that you've never worked with. And then he says, they will soar high on wings like eagles. You know what's dope about the eagle? You got to understand, you got to decide right now in your life who you going to rock with, the eagles or the turtles. Come on. Well, I don't like turtles. They get caught up in everything. But an eagle, and he's looking at all, look at that foolishness. Look at that drama. They ain't going to never. And guess what? Because he's so high, it can't reach the eagle. Some of you want an eagle blessing, but you got a turtle anointing. Yeah. Here's a word for you. Understand you've been an eagle, and they're turtles. And they hate you because you're an eagle. But you stay an eagle because God made you an eagle. And you loose the turtle. You better loose the turtles. Listen here. He says, watch this, and they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. That means when hell comes up against you, you got a new strength. You can take it. You ever seen the movies when the Terminator, he just, is that all you got? RoboCop, that's my guy right there. Yeah. And some of you need that type of not get weariness. And some of you need that type of new strength where the enemy can just throw everything that he's going through on you. And guess why you can take it? Because you ain't you. You and him. It's a new strength. Listen, I'm almost done. Isaiah 41 and 10. And here's the problem, because most of y'all scary. That's why you won't let go of what you got when you know what you got ain't right, because you're scared. See, most of us feel like, at least I got somebody. No, you don't. And you're crying every day. No, you don't. And they make you feel this big. No, you don't. Friends don't like you, but you keep them around. Because you're scared. Scared of being by yourself. Scared to be by. And God says, I got an antidote. He says, I got something for all the scary people in the room. God says, listen to her. Don't be afraid. Watch this. For who's with you? He says, I am with you. You don't got to be afraid. But you got to be right. But you got to be right. You have a right to be afraid if you're not going to be right. You have a right to be afraid if you're serving the wrong God. Am I making sense in here today? I want you to get this. He says, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Listen, he says, I'm with you. Hold on, he says, I'm going to get to the always. But he said, I'm with you. But stand up, Kim. But the bronchitis, I'm with you. But the medical report they just gave me, I'm with you. And I wish it would. I'm with you. I'm a new strength in you. That's how he rocks. He rocks just like that. No. Don't be afraid. You see it? Yeah, I see it. But I'm with you. See, when God is your God, when the enemy comes against you, guess what God do? Come on. We walk, and here comes the enemy. And God say, hold up. What's up? When God's with you and you see God, hold up. What's happening? No, I need to, no. You hollering at me now. She's with me. They with me. You understand what I'm saying to you today. And the problem is that because we've been fighting all our life, because we've been defending ourselves all our life, You understand what I'm saying to you? That's why I always get mad at men that say stuff like, she wants to be the man in a relationship. That's because she's had to be. That's because you wasn't doing your job. But I want you to understand this, though. When God is with you, watch this, you ain't even got to throw your hands. He says, stand still and see the salvation of me. Y'all don't hear me in this place. He says this, watch this. He says, and you ever see the enemy coming? You ever see your hater coming? And the first thing you do is get what? Discouraged. Here they go. I ain't got no time for this. How many of you say, today ain't the day? You understand what I'm saying to you? And God says this, hold on. Why are you tripping about the haters? Don't get discouraged. Why? I'm with you. Don't be discouraged. Why? For I'm your God. Now, I want to make this plain. And y'all was honest a minute ago, and I'm proud of you. And I want you to do it again. Remember we were talking about how the problem is that we got some things that we love more than God? And you understand that if you love something more than God, that is your God, right? Now, I want to ask you a question. That thing that you love that it is, that thing that you love that more than God, when trouble come your way, can it protect you? You know why it can't protect you? Because most times it is the trouble that's coming your way. Let me tell you something. You can't say I bind up witchcraft, but have a Ouija board in your crib. As long as you got the Ouija board, no, y'all ain't hearing me. As long as you got the horoscope, as long as you got the Ouija board in your crib, guess what? Satan has a right to come inside your home. Can I go ahead and preach to you today? As long as you got sin in your life, what you are giving the enemy is a pass in your life. Until you get the sin out of your camp, I believe he told Joshua, until you get the sin out of your camp, I will not be with you. You will not win one battle. You're going to be destroyed. And watch this. Not only do I want you to get the sin out of your camp, Joshua said, not only are we going to get it out of our camp, but we're going to set it on fire. Listen, stop getting delivered from your sin and then going back to it. Oh, God. He says, you don't have to be discouraged, for I am your God, and I will strengthen you, and I will help you, and I will hold you up with my victorious hand. Watch this. So you remember like this? So when the hater comes, come on, right here, Kevin, just run for that hand right there. Run for that hand. You're the hater. Run for it. Ooh, he said, I'll just hold you up. Come on, run for it again, Kevin. I'll just hold you up. Sneak around the back and try to get it, Kevin, where I can't see. Well, you can't see, but God can see. I'll just hold you up. God said, I'll just hold you up. And guess what? And here's what I love about God. When you really locked in God, when watch this. Come on, come in for it again. Come on for it again. Boom. Yes, I hold you up, then come back for it again. And then God says, watch out. Hey, cuz. We done. You gonna leave that alone. AKA obedience. When you're obedient, it says, come for me. Come for it. Obedience says, and now God says, cuz, we done. See, but here's the thing. Go ahead and run, sin. Go ahead and run. You can't bring it back. Go ahead and run, sin. Friday night, I don't know. Maybe I'll be holy Monday. See, here's the problem is, run, sin. I need it out of my life, but we've been through so much together. You want it or you don't. Give me the next scripture, niece. 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 3 through 5. It says, but the Lord is faithful. That's what you need to know. He's faithful. And when you can believe in your heart, truly in your heart. Remember how I used to be a hot mess? But I had to remember that he was faithful. So when I figured out that he was faithful, I knew that everything that was for me was for me. You hear me? Daughter of mine, do you hear me? He is faithful. And this is what you're going to have to believe. You're going to have to trust it. And you can't keep playing God like you play man, because man wasn't faithful. God is. He is faithful. And you got to ask yourself today, do I believe that? Do I really believe God is faithful? Because if I believe God is faithful, there's just a host of things that I will not do. Amen? He says, but the Lord is faithful. And watch this. Not only that, he will what? establish you. That means he will get you grounded. He'll root you. He'll, I'm strong. So come on, sin. Run into me, sin. I'm strong. Come on, sin. Come on, sin. Established. I'm established. And that's the problem. That's why we see them come, why we see them go, why we see them in and out, because they're not established. You understand what I'm saying to you? We don't come to church for one another, and I love every last one of you, but I don't come for you. I come for him, and you should never come for me. You should come for him, and when we get in him, we become established. And then he says, he will establish you and guard you against the evil one. Now, I want you to understand this. You can be established and still be silly. So the beautiful part about it, being established in God, is when you want to get silly, he don't let you. He reminds you what being silly does. Now, I want to share something with you that Pastor Sonia said. I'm almost done. I got 8 minutes. Amen. Yeah. Pastor Sonia said this. She thought I was up her text and being rude. She teached the Sunday school this morning that said, unteachable. And then she said, "This is what the word fat means, you know, because in the hood culture we'd be like fat means good, right? But what it means biblically is dull, heavy, stupid, dumb, unreachable, unteachable, unteachable. How many of you in here are unteachable? How many of you are saying I am ready to forfeit what I've always thought for what God says?" See, if you're not going to be teachable, if you can sit back and say, I hear you, but that's my fam, and I ain't going out like that. I ain't ready to walk away from them. Then you might as well get up and leave, and you and your fam can be in hell together. You understand what I'm saying to you? But if you're going to be teachable, and so he says this, and we have what? Confidence in who? The Lord about you. So me, Sonia, Miriam, Larissa, Sherry, a few others of us, we got a confidence. No, Alicia, we got Kim. We got a confidence that guess what? When you leave us, you will be doing what you're supposed to be doing. Yeah. I love some of my Facebook people in here because they constantly letting you know I got God on my mind. I ain't fronting. So he says this, I want you to catch it. He says, we have confidence in the Lord about you that you are doing and will do the things that we command. Not because we're over you, spiritually we are, but not because we're your boss, we you do what I tell you to, but simply because you trust the God in us that what we are teaching you is what you should be doing. Simple as that. But see, we get caught up in, hey, nobody gonna be telling me what I'm gonna do. How you gonna say it and somebody been telling you what to do? Satan been telling most of us in here what to do for a long time, and we've been doing it. Now all of a sudden, because it's preaching and it's me, now you tough. You nobody gonna be telling me what to do. He been telling you what to do. And the Bible says that not only was he telling you what to do, he called you a slave to sin. That's what he said. He said, you're a slave to sin. So check this out. So then he goes on. He says, verse number 5, may the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God, to the steadfastness of Christ. Now catch this. The word steadfast means to be fixed or firm in a direction or purpose, unwavering. So if we're saved, watch this, if we're children of God, then we are fixed in one way, in one route, in one direction. And I didn't give it to her, but Philippians chapter 3, verse number 10 says, he says, I put behind me the past things and I move forward to the upward call in Christ. So what are we supposed to be fixed to? We're supposed to be fixed to Christ. These are the direction of Christ. Our purpose, everything about us is supposed to represent Christ because we are steadfast in him. Now, let me help you out. Some of you say, man, ain't nobody, because Tony was saying that this morning. She said, you know, people be saying stuff like, you can't walk this walk for real like it. You can't. Yeah. Let me tell you something. If you can walk for Satan the way you did, you can walk for God the way you're supposed to. I promise you. Let me tell you, I know some of y'all think y'all rough and tough and all that stuff, but it ain't no worse human being in this room than me. No. Some of you come in and you want to talk about it, and I'll be like, man, that was Tuesday before 9. There is no worse human being than me. I don't know a person, and I'm not saying that to brag. I'm saying it because this is why he called me. Paul said, I was chief of the sinners. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so he says, but check this out. But it don't have to be that way. It don't have to stay that way. If there was a way to be evil, I wrote half the book on it. You understand what I'm saying to you? But I can walk. I'm living in evil, looking over my back. I'm living in evil, you know, having to go take these tests because you know it is what it is. And I'm living in evil, and I got all of these things that I'm dealing with. But I'm living in evil well. I'm doing a good job of it. I'm a poster boy for messed up. So if you can live that easily in evil, oh God. And living righteously gives you the ability to sleep at night. I don't even got cameras on my house. You understand what I'm saying to you? You when you live righteously, if you can live evilly, you can live for God. Don't you let nobody tell you, oh, can't nobody do all that kind of. No, what you ought to not be able to believe is that you could be so scandalous. I don't trip at the fact that I live holy now. I trip at the fact that I was that scandalous. Anybody ever just have one of those moments where you just think about you at your worst time and go, oh, God. That's when you get quiet and make noises. So don't believe that you cannot live holy when you was able to live so hellish. I got another scripture, don't I, Nathan, and we're out. How do we do it? Here's how it works. This is what Sonia was talking about this morning. How do I get to a place of I'm not playing no more? And God is saying, Satan would rather kill you than let you teach what you learn here. The funny part about it is, you can run me back every sermon. None of it gets over your head. But Satan would rather kill you before he let you go and talk to those people that are supposed to be your friends. Because you would get them delivered. So what he does is he continues to put all types of hell in your life. So speaking the word to somebody is the furthest thing from your mind. And what he's praying is that one day I'll just physically kill you off and not have to worry about you no more. Because he understands better than you how powerful you are. Here's how you do it. I'm talking to the grown folk now. And the reason why I'm talking to the grown folk, it's not that the young people aren't important, but I'm talking to the grown folk because once you get this, you ought to command your house a little differently. I'm in a season of commanding my house a little differently. All the believers, Acts 2 and 42, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to pray. In the New King James Version, if you read this scripture, right before it starts, it says, a vital church grows. Vital means something that is necessary. Yes. Something that's necessary. And the Bible says, it says, a vital church grows. And then it comes this scripture. And it says, all the believers. How many believers are in the house? Raise your hand and hold them up. I want to see. How many believers are in the house? Okay, cool. Then it is your mandate to devote yourself to what you're being taught. Now, Now we have another choice. Now there's two other boxes, real and fake. And it always amazes me how we are so pressed out for people to know how we keep it 100 out in the world, but we can come in church and be fake. It says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. When you devote yourself to something, it doesn't mean that you just read it, that you took some notes while I was teaching. It doesn't mean that you just like, you know what, that's a good word. It means that you actually apply it to your life. You live it. Amen. The reason why this is a hard walk is because you're not practicing. Jordan wasn't Jordan because he was Jordan. Jordan was Jordan because Jordan practiced. You have to continually be a pattern of good works. You're going to have to, when you know you, this is usually your wrong spot, you're going to have to be like, man. And this, guess what? And it ain't going to be easy. Because you like that wrong way. Your flesh digs that wrong way. It's what you know. It's what you've conditioned yourself to. But guess what? You got to go through the pain. It's called the consequence of sin. And say no to it anyway. You understand what I'm saying to you? And I promise you. And with the first time that you say no, guess what? The seas ain't going to roar. Ain't nothing going to part. Ain't nothing crazy going to happen. And you're going to feel like, I should have just went ahead and did it because I don't. But the reality is, no, baby, you just grew. You just grew. And guess what? The second time when you say no and you do the right thing and you begin to practice your new habit a second time, guess what? Ain't going to feel no better. But come on, you better come on down here and preach with me. But a little bit more, you've grown a little bit more. Now all of a sudden you begin to say, why does this keep coming up? And I keep, because now you will acknowledge what you have to keep saying no to. You see what you have to keep saying no. And then all of a sudden you begin to just ask yourself questions. Why does this keep coming up? I said no two times. That's because Satan is persistent. Hell is persistent. And you're going to have to be, hell just doing what hell do, but you're going to have to do what a believer does. Hell's just doing what hell does, but you got to do what the believer does. Amen. How many believers I got in the house? How many of you are committed to the doctrine of the apostle? Have I taught you anything wrong today? Now, how many of you will trust the word of the Lord today? How many of you are going to trust the word of the Lord tomorrow? How about Wednesday afternoon around 3 and everybody done got on your nerves? But we're going to make it through. We're going to make it through. We're going to make it through. Amen? I promise you. Here's what I want you to know. I'm done. You can win. You don't have to be a victim. Don't have to be a victim. Don't have to cry no more. You don't have to. You don't have to cry. You don't have to be a victim. You do not have to be a victim. You can win. You can smile from your spirit. You can rejoice. You can be happy. Alone. Healing. Healing. Don't go grab nobody else. You need to heal from the last three. Heal. I ain't knocking you. I'm being 100 with you. Heal first. Why you won't give somebody something broken? Why you won't give somebody something you can't even trust? Why you want somebody and you don't even like you yet? You don't even like you. Let's heal. And baby, I'm not taking shots at nobody. Let me tell you something. I had to set myself. My wife would tell you. I had to set myself and say, am I going to continue to do this? Am I going to continue to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? Hating myself every day. Not able to get myself together, crazy, wrecking my home, wrecking my ministry. Am I gonna stay crazy? Or am I gonna trust God? Man, I'm out here every Sunday preaching to everybody, dying on the inside myself. You need to make up in your mind today that you ain't got another amen. Amen means I agree. I ain't gonna say amen again until I'm for real about it. I preached a sermon years ago. Don't amen if your walk don't agree. Listen. You deserve better than what you've been playing yourselves. God's got a mercy and a grace for you. And you got to want it. You got to believe that you have a right to it. You're better than what you're putting yourselves through. If you're believers, you'll devote yourselves to the doctrine. If you're believers, you'll be back Sunday. Some of you halfway through this decided you didn't like me. But I never said one false thing. And quite frankly, I'm not here to be your friend. I'm here to be your pastor. I'm here to give you the tools to make it in. And while making it in, you ain't got to keep being a victim. Amen. So when you come on up, we need to fellowship Tiana in.